Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. Every week there are news stories illustrating the culture war. We all heard about the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs, Harrison Butker. He gave a commencement speech at a Catholic college extolling the virtues of motherhood over corporate careers. And leftists and trolls in the media are calling for Butker to be fired because what he said was so offensive to the secular feminist worldview. Another sign that there's been a huge value change in America. Here's another story. A group of middle school girls in West Virginia were protesting the fact that a boy, a transgender, was allowed to compete against them in track and field. The school then retaliated against them by banning them from participating in sports. And this is conservative West Virginia. And notice the school board and the administration were not only on board with this whole transgender ideology, they were so on board that they believed it was right to persecute those who felt otherwise. Here's another story. Bethany Hamilton, the professional surfer who lost her arm in a shark attack when she was a young teen, spoke against the new World Surfing League policy allowing transgender athletes to compete in the female category. Her major sponsor, Rip Curl, immediately dropped her. Instead, began sponsoring a transgender surfer, Ryan Egan, who won the men's longboard title in 2019 and then claimed to be switching genders and started competing against the women. He changed his name to Sasha Lowerson, and in 2022, Lowerson won the Women's Longboard Championship. Bethany Hamilton and others explained the strength differences between men and women in surfing is huge. But notice these corporate owners totally believe in transgenderism, and they want to be evangelists for it. They want to erase gender distinctions. And I suspect there is a subconscious desire for sexual liberty and sexual deviance that's driving these people. Here's another news story, queer farming. The U.S. Farm Credit Agency, in promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion, they must have hired a DEI officer for the agency, put out a newsletter about how they're contributing to LGBTQ plus farmers and how queer farmers can improve America's agriculture in ways that their straight counterparts cannot. So the government, the deep state, and particularly the Biden administration believe in and are pushing in moral sexual liberation in America. And God is allowing all this to be paraded out before us for us to see and learn. We know the prophecy, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, that at the end of this age, God will remove his restraint, the restraint he normally puts on the proclivities of the depraved, unsaved mind, and God will allow for an outbreak of evil in the world. At least I hope you know the prophecy, because it explains everything we see happening in the world. Those who don't know the prophecy come up with all sorts of erroneous explanations for the current moral decline. The prophecy goes on to explain God's whole purpose in his removal of restraint is so that the innate sin and rebellion that resides in the human heart would be exposed. And so therefore, God's coming judgment will be clearly seen as just and deserving. God is going to show that all along man's goodness and man's self-restraint has not been his own, but God has been restraining the evil that would naturally break out. The whole world would have become Sodom and Gomorrah centuries ago if it weren't for God's restraint. But at the end of this age, it's time to let man's sinful rebellion come to the surface and be fully exposed before it's judged. So let's learn from what we're seeing in the news. Most people miss the forest for the trees. God is speaking, but most people are not in tune with God. They don't have eyes to see and ears to hear, as Jesus said about the people in his day. Now, in this week's program, I want to continue discussing what I brought up last week, which was an explanation for the culture war, why some people are pro-trans, pro-LGBTQ, pro-abortion, pro-Marxism, and others are not. Trump, in his campaign speech last week in Wildwood, New Jersey, said that on day one, he's going to put an end to transgenderism in sports. And the Biden administration's reinterpreting of Title IX to force schools to accept boys and girls sports. And in listening to Trump, the core difference between Trump and the left finally dawned on me. Trump tends to hold to traditional morality and law. He's old school, where what is right is a function of higher metaphysical law, the law of nature and nature's God, where doing what is right has nothing to do with people's feelings or affirmation. This is the traditional way of thinking about law and policy. But the new moral basis for the left that has taken over the culture is that what is right is what affirms people. Up with people, down with law. And any law that hurts people's feelings must be wrong and should be outlawed. So Trump will say the criminal, illegal immigrant element should be thrown out of the country and criminals should be arrested. There should be an end to no jail, no bail. But those on the left would say no one should be considered illegal. No one should be less than. Because for the left, people's self-esteem and affirmation come before any national law or border or identity. Because the highest value in post-Christian America is affirming people's will. What is right is what affirms people. And if something is not affirming people, it can't be right. Whereas in biblical law and traditional Christian morality, people's feelings don't matter. If your feelings are hurt, that's because you're the problem. But now we have this new satanic religion sweeping the world, a new basis for morality. So it really comes down to whether man is the measure of all things or God is the measure of all things. And there are a million different ways this can be described, whether law is a function of human utility or law is a function of divine revelation, whether man is a law unto himself or whether man is to be under the law of God, whether there should be law positivism, that of Oliver Wendell Holmes, or the natural law of Robert Bork. Now, for the average person on the street, it's whether I should follow my feelings or submit to the Bible. But in essence, it all comes down to the age-old controversy, who is God? You or God? And that pretty much sums up the whole message of the Bible. That in the end, whether you will submit to God or go off and be your own God and do your own thing. The world will end with every knee bowing to the authority of Jesus Christ, God incarnate, Philippians chapter 2, so at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God's end goal is to redeem a people for himself and to bring everything back under his righteous authority. Now, that submission to Christ will either be Christ being your Savior or Christ being your judge, but every knee will bow. Of course, many, many people do not believe this. And so therefore, we could also sum up the whole controversy as belief versus unbelief. And that's often how the Bible describes it. Believers are saved and unbelievers are lost. And it's not just belief in belief or belief in the existence of God, but a belief in God rather than a belief in yourself as your own authority. And recognize that belief is a function not of the intellect, but of the will. So that belief is a submission of the will. So that can also be said, those willing to submit to God will be saved, and those unwilling will be lost. You know, they join with Satan in his self-will and disdain for God's authority. And that is also the way the conflict is described in the Gospels, a willingness or an unwillingness. What's the definition of evil? Being unwilling to let God be God, evil is ultimately the actions and the character of those who choose not to conform to the righteousness of God. So just understand the basics. Because with all of the noise and the media, it's easy to lose sight of the basics, what is happening, and the moral choice that must be made is really not that complicated. Now, Satan and the people of this world work to muddy the waters with alternatives and complicated explanations, or even refuse to talk about the real reasons for the ideological differences. We certainly don't hear on the nightly news, World News Tonight with David Muir, as he continues to discuss belief or unbelief in God, the big issue behind all of the political discussion. Willingness to submit to God or unwillingness, God versus man, illustrated in the political conflicts of the day. Well, of course, we don't hear that because people generally do not want the real issue revealed. As C.S. Lewis wrote, "Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts." The kingdom of darkness doesn't want people to actually know what they're choosing. And realize also, even conservative pundits will not touch this subject. How can you really evaluate and understand what's happening in this world without touching on the God or no God issue? And maybe these political pundits don't know the core issue, or they don't believe in the core issue, or they're afraid to get too religious for fear of losing advertisers and an audience. But just realize the elephant in the room that's not being talked about. And what is it? Whether right or wrong is based upon your feelings and your affirmation upon you, or whether right or wrong is based upon the law of God, a law outside of ourselves. Both sides are going to get nowhere until that issue is settled. I was reading a few articles this week about political differences. Here's one from The Atlantic. What politics do to your morals, the science of how people form their political identities. Here's an article from Penn State. Americans not only divided, but baffled by what motivates their opponents. Here's an article from ABC News. Democrats are wrong about Republicans, and Republicans are wrong about Democrats. And here's a study from Pew Research. Democrats and Democrat leaners who say common sense is their primary source of guidance on what is right and wrong. But in all of these studies and articles, what's amazing is that value differences, political, moral, ideological differences are all attributed to race, economic status, individual focus versus group focus, prejudices, biases, but not a word about the competing source of authority, either being man or God. All these smart people, but they're not even in the ballpark concerning how the scripture explains the situation. It's the way of the righteous, which is submission to God, versus the way of the wicked, which is rebellion to God. Now, whether people recognize this or not, this is what's really going on in people's subconscious. This is what's determining their values. But again, it's amazing. Not only is the world at enmity with God, but the unsaved world refuses to recognize or admit the real issue. Why don't you just come out and say it? We don't believe in God. Or even if there is a God, we're going to assume his definitions of right or wrong agree with our definitions of right or wrong. And that God would certainly affirm our desires. But no, that's the elephant in the room that nobody dares mention. It really gives new meaning to Romans chapter 1, verse 18, the ungodly suppress the truth and unrighteousness, or Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, they're darkened in their understanding, or John chapter 3, men love darkness and they do not come to the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. And that exposure includes the real reason for their lifestyle choices and ideological beliefs. The Bible also describes the situation as the lie versus the truth, where people choose to believe the lie because they don't like the truth. Jesus told Pilate he came into the world to testify to the truth. Those who are of the truth will listen to his message, but those who love the lie will not. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But Romans 1:25, people exchange the truth of God for the lie. And Revelation 22, outside of heaven is everyone who loves and practices the lie. Lucifer himself lives a lie to justify his own self-will and self-determination, his autonomy from God. And that's what people do today in solidarity with Satan. Now, regarding lies and misplaced, erroneous speculations and answers in this world, do you realize how much stuff and nonsense is circulating in academia today? Don't believe everything you hear. People are not as smart as they profess. For example, this is something I looked at this week. We all know about learning styles. That's the standard learning theory in education today. It's called VARK, Visual, Auditory, Reading, and Kinesthetic Learning Styles. But do you know, research has proven that it's completely bogus. Neil Fleming, the founder of the theory, never did any actual research. He just assumed the reason why some students were succeeding and some failing was based on learning styles. And his theory took the educational establishment by a storm, probably because people wanted to believe learning differences were based upon learning styles rather than the old-fashioned view that it's all about the student's moral choice to learn. I was also just watching a YouTube-based on a famous paper explaining why most published social research is wrong. Because researchers misunderstand statistical correlation. They misuse the p-value formula. Researchers use wrong sample size. They assume correlation is causation. They jump to conclusions. And most social research results cannot be reproduced in follow-up studies. So it's well known that social science research comes to incorrect conclusions most of the time. Yet the latest findings are reported in the media, and they become the basis for political policy and moral judgments. When you hear in the media, studies show, just assume the conclusions are most likely in error. But my point is this. People put their trust in man and in science to explain human behavior. And not only is most of it fiction, quite often the explanations fly in the face of the biblical explanation, either directly contradicting God's answer or redirecting the answer away from God's answer. Romans chapter 1, professing to be wise, they become fools. Isaiah 47:10, your wisdom and your knowledge have deluded you. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where's the wise man? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of the world, through its wisdom, didn't come to know God. So God was well pleased to save those who believe in him. God's evaluation of man's problem and the solution is what we need to turn to. And that's another description of what salvation is all about. Repenting, which literally means changing your mind and agreeing with God. So here's my contention. We need to be explaining to those around us the reason for their choice, the reason for the culture war. We need to explain to our neighbors, our coworkers, our family, the true reason for moral, political, ideological, religious choice. And what exactly is that explanation? That people today are judging right and wrong by their own feelings, by what affirms their ego and their desires, and any value that doesn't do that is labeled oppression. So when someone comes along with the Christian message that God's law is what we need to submit to, immediately the person with the Christian worldview gets an evil eye. Oh, you're one of them. I heard about you people from my college professor. You are one of the oppressors in the world. You're the racist. You're the problem in the world. You don't affirm people. Well, that's the new religion of the left that's replacing God's message revealed through the prophets and the apostles. And that's where the world is going to end up in its raw rebellion against God. Well, the question for our neighbor is this what you believe? Or will you go with the biblical message? Now, of course, in challenging others to identify their moral choice and their authority, many, many will still believe in their self-wills and that they are gods unto themselves and they should determine truth. But at least they know what they're choosing and why. Our job is not to convince people of the truth. That's God's job. All God wants us to do is explain the truth and expose the lie. And when we explain the truth, there will be some who will hear and respond to God's truth. John chapter 3, these are the people Jesus said, come to the light. And then again, as Jesus said to Pilate, everyone who is of the truth will hear my voice. There is going to be a minority in this world who will decide to be on God's side, decide to submit to God's standards for right and wrong, which includes believing the gospel message that men are sinners and that we need Christ's atonement for our sins by his work on the cross. You know, this channel, God and Country, Biblical Exposition, will always be like the prophet John, a voice crying out in the wilderness. It will never be popular with the world, but it may be used by God to reach a few who will be part in God's eternal kingdom. So this week's program has been quite basic, but in all of the noise and distractions, we need to keep our focus and explain to others the basic gospel. May God grant you the wisdom and the desire to be on his side. One update. Folks have been wondering when I'm going to finish up my Doctrines of Civil Government Sunday School video curriculum. Well, I've been working slowly on editing and transcripting the YouTubes. It's taken longer than I expected. The few extra hours I have each week to work on extra projects tend to get taken up with unexpected interruptions. But I'll eventually finish it up. And I'll keep you updated on the progress. Thanks for listening. Stand firm in the truth. And may Jesus Christ reign.